Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we are going to start talking about season 17, Gabon, Earth's Last Eden.
Yeah, so let's jump right into that for a second. Gabon, Earth's Last Eden. I kind of was like, huh, I've never heard that nickname for Gabon, but I don't know a lot about Gabon. That's fun that people call it Earth's Last Eden. And I looked into that a little bit. No one calls it that.
Yeah, I think
That
it's just a
just means
survivor thing.
Survivor has called it that. But like, that's weird, right? That they just like decided on this nickname for a place that specifically a like pretty religious nickname for a place that doesn't already have that nickname, and it doesn't have any sort of like gameplay effect at all.
Yeah, I think it's just them saying that like they're trying to say they're in an area that is mostly untouched. And I think the Eden call is just for like it being kind of like paradise, like beautiful and stuff.
Yeah,
Not
I just
like.
did like the, I don't know, I feel like they could also argue those things for Fiji or Micronesia, or like most of the places they've been are mostly untouched and are pretty beautiful. And by untouched, I guess that's might not be accurate. Like, I don't know enough about Gabon in comparison to those other places, but like, there's a government in Gabon, like, there's people there. It's not like untouched, untouched.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I was just surprised because usually when we get like a subtitle like that, it has some sort of like game mechanic like Exile Island or Fans vs. Favorites or something like that. And this one, I don't know why it does. So I was like, oh, it must be what people call Gabon. And it is not. It's what Survivor has called Gabon.
I mean, we had it with like Vanuatu, they called it Islands of Fire. But I don't know that that is actually called that or factored in game wise.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They did like go and visit the volcanoes and stuff, but you're right, it wasn't really a game thing. I forgot that they called that Islands of Fire. Okay, so I guess they do it sometimes. I still think
Yeah.
it's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe people asked Jeff this around that time. I don't know. I thought it fit in nicely with James from the past two seasons, because he kept referring, making ref like metaphors for the forbidden apple, forbidden fruit, and now they're actually in Eden, and he's not there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Before we dive into this episode, fun fact from a crossword puzzle I was doing this morning: spoilers for the New York Times crossword puzzle from April 18th, 2015. So if anybody's like just about to do that crossword puzzle from 8 years ago. One down, the clue was kind of council.
Tribal?
And the answer is tribal. Yeah.
Hey, did they listen to our podcast?
Maybe it was written by Damon Golchinski. So maybe he's a big fan.
That's funny.
Another thing I've kind of found out, but not really, was when we ended 16, we talked about like what if there was going to be a tie for the final vote because they only had eight jury members. And people asked Jeff this at the time, apparently, in like an AMA or something. And or an interview. I don't know. Maybe they asked him in an AMA like after the fact, because I don't know if Reddit was around yet at that time. But either way, and he basically just said he wants it to be a secret, he won't say.
Oh, that's anticlimactic.
I did see, I couldn't find it again when I was looking this morning because I looked into this several days ago. Somebody commented something about him having like an envelope at for the vote reveal, like in case of a tie, that there'd be something in that envelope that would then come into effect. But I don't know what that was. And I couldn't
Oh, that's
find it again.
it's also interesting because that makes it seem like we sealed this ahead of time just in case. But like they, when he's going to read the votes, they already know who wins. They've read those votes. That's not a surprise to Jeff.
Yeah, lots of the commenter like there's people commenting because I think I've found it on like a Reddit thread of people asking about it of like, oh, I bet they would just do a revote at the reveal, and everybody instantly was like, no, they wouldn't, because this was like months later, and they're not going to do that after people get a chance to actually like watch the show, let the jury vote again, which I agree with. I don't think they would have done that. If they would have done a revote and not shown us, it would have been like at in the original filming.
Right. They would have realized that they had a tie as people were voting.
Right.
Done something about it then. Yeah.
Right. So I don't think we'll ever know.
Yeah. The other thing that we need to do before we jump into season 17, Gabon, Earth's Last Eden, is we never ranked China or Micronesia in our season ranking.
Or season 44.
Oh, shit. Or 44.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. We should do those. All three of those.
Yeah.
Micronesia, I feel solid. It's been a while since I finished watching it.
Micronesia is my number one.
Solid as my number one, yes. The others, maybe we should do them one at a time.
Well, we just did one.
Right. Well, I was saying the others, and then I was like, maybe I shouldn't talk about China and 44 together. I should separate those.
Hmm.
Where do I like generally put China in my brain?
I gotta like refresh myself on what went down with China. Who was there?
I feel like it was interesting and there was some good stuff happening, but it also wasn't like, I don't know, that great. And the storyline was kind of like, I don't know. I kind of want to hear from you, I guess, because from my perspective, like Todd and Amanda and Courtney kind of just like ran the show the entire time. But yeah. Maybe it seemed like that to me because I knew that Todd won going into it.
It's weird because I like feel like I enjoyed it, but then when I'm looking at our list of our other rankings, because my eyes immediately were like, well, I feel like it'd be like towards the middle. And then I look at the middle and like the middle of our rankings is like 43 and All Stars and then Australia going down. And I'm like, I don't know if I liked it better than those. I think I would maybe put it like on our ranking, which listeners probably don't have that memorized. And so this doesn't mean a lot to them. I would put it maybe between Australia and 41, somewhere around there.
Interesting. I was thinking between All Stars and Australia.
I feel like I...
Currently, listeners, All Stars is ranked 10th, Australia is ranked 11th, and 41 is ranked 12th. And so we're debating where in that chunk China should go.
Yeah, Australia just like holds like a special spot in my brain because it was one of the first seasons we watched. But it's very possible I would go back and rewatch it and be like, this season's garbage. Or like not as good as what I'm remembering.
Yeah, I think that like my issue with China is that it felt like Todd and Amanda and Courtney were kind of running the show. But that's also true of like Colby and Tina and Keith.
Mm-hmm. I would be okay with putting it ahead of Australia. Like what you suggested. Because it's also moving towards like the gameplay rather than... I feel like Australia was so early on, it was still kind of more people just being like friendly and stuff, not as backstabby.
Yeah, I agree with that. 44, I really liked 44. I like 44 more than any of the other new eras. And we currently have 42 ranked 7th, so I want to put it above that.
Okay.
But you might disagree with that. Okay.
That's fine.
I think that I would maybe put it not that much higher than 42. Like currently we have,
I wouldn't put it any more above it. Like I think I enjoyed Cook Islands more.
Okay. I was debating either right above Cook Islands or right below Cook Islands.
All right. So that's what our 20th. We've watched 20 seasons, 16, yeah. Four. Yeah. So listeners, very quick rundown of these, what we have ranked currently our top 20 seasons being, we've watched 20 seasons, are number one, Micronesia, season 16, then Vanuatu, season 9, Pearl Islands, season 7, Amazon, season 6, Panama, Exile Island, season 12, Cook Islands, season 13, Survivor 44, Survivor 42, Marquesas, season 40, or 4, Survivor 43, All Stars, which was season 8, China, season 15, Australia, season 2, Survivor 41, Africa, which was season 3, Fiji was 14, Palau was 10, Guatemala was 11, Borneo was the first season, and then Thailand the 5th season. So pretty good mixture.
I am fine with our system of doing this, and I think we should keep going for this. But even looking back at this, like thinking back, I think I would reorder these differently.
I mean, I couldn't even tell you stuff about some of these.
Like, I am surprised that Guatemala is so low on our list. But
I don't know. I feel like
we wouldn't put it that much higher.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of Guatemala people I just didn't like.
That's fair.
I don't know. One thing, I guess maybe not. Never mind.
Could you, I'm not going to make you do this for all 20 of them, but do you feel like you could name the winner of each of these seasons?
No. I could maybe do like half of them.
Really?
I could probably do more than half of them. Some of them I literally couldn't tell you the difference. I don't know. Like Fiji and Palau, couldn't tell you a single person from either of those seasons.
Really?
Don't know the difference.
That's wild. Wow. That's
yeah. Amazing. So like, okay, I cannot do very many of these. Thailand, the winner was Brian, like High Deck or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Second place was Clay, I think. Borneo was Richard Hatch with I'm not gonna do second place for all these. Guatemala.
Kelly Bigglesworth was the name you were looking for.
Okay. Guatemala.
I didn't expect you to get Guatemala. The reason why Guatemala is so low on our list is because the winner like was barely in the.
Oh yeah. I just saw somebody post a picture from Guatemala on Reddit the other day. Denise. Is that right?
Danny.
Danny. Palau, Fiji, no clue.
Palau was Tom Westman. That's the one where one tribe totally dominated. And Fiji was Earl.
Oh, like yes.
Man.
Africa was Ethan.
Uh-huh.
41 was Erica. Australia was Tina.
I expected you to get that a lot faster.
This is a lot of names. This is 20 seasons. This is like almost 400 people I have to like think about.
That is, I'm not asking you to remember more than 20 people, actually. Like, you're not remembering people that were pre-merge on any of these seasons.
Some of them, maybe. Like, who's going to forget Sonia Christopher?
Oh.
She's pre-merge. Come on.
She was pre-merge, yeah.
China, we just watched and talked about. Todd?
Yes.
All-Stars was Amba. 43 would have been, I get these mixed up.
Yeah, the new era is mean.
Okay. Oh, 43 was Gabler.
Yeah.
42 was Marianne. Marquesas was Vesepia.
Yeah.
That was a memorable tribal council, final tribal council.
You're doing great at this.
Yeah, I'm doing better than I expected. 42, I said already, was Marianne. 44 was Jam Jam. Cook Island was, this was the race wars. Who made it to the end of, I don't remember who won Cook Island.
I really want to help you out. Can I give you a hint?
Yeah.
Your friend thinks he's hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yule.
Yule. Yeah, I was confused. Yeah, not Yao, man. Yule, the man. Panama, no idea. Amazon was Amazon a woman?
Yes.
Yeah. It was don't remember.
Wednesday Adams.
That doesn't help me.
Okay, I thought it might.
Christina Ricci?
Newly Emmy nominated actress from the show Wednesday, Jenna Ortega.
Mm-hmm. But not Jenna Ortega.
Right, Jenna Marasco.
But
Amazon was Aris.
No, Amazon was Jenna Marasco.
Sorry, Panama. Panama was Aris.
Aris. Yeah, totally forgot about that guy. That's our fifth ranked season. Pearl Islands was, what's her name? Not Sonia. It's with an S, right?
It is with an S. Come on, Chris. hardcore Survivor fans that listen to this podcast are like screaming at you right now.
Yeah, well, we've only seen her once, okay? I don't care if she comes back for other seasons and she's been on Survivor Australia or whatever. We've only seen her once, and her name starts with an S. I don't know. It's with an S.
Sandra.
I was close. Okay. Vanuatu was that one guy. This was our number one ranked season for so long. It's a guy who survived so long with women, and he was able to pull it off. So good work to him.
Yep. He has a really good name.
Chris. Yes. And then Micronesia was Parvati.
Yeah, that was a good impression of how Jeff tries to remember how to pronounce her name every time.
I did some of them.
I told you that I wasn't going to make you do all of those, and I don't think I did. I think you just started doing it on your own, but yeah, I'm impressed.
I passed.
You did, definitely passed.
Kind of passing grading. We should talk about season 17, though.
We should. With this two-hour season finale, season premiere, that
I was just like, two episodes.
Oh. Yeah, it was just two episodes in one. I was like, oh, this feels cheap.
Yeah.
And they made a big deal of like, ooh, we're going to have two tribal councils. It's like, you just put the two episodes together and edit them together. Come on, guys.
Yeah, which looking at this season, I was like, oh, it's like a little shorter than some of the other seasons. Well, it's just because the first episode is two episodes. So it's really the same amount of episodes as most.
Right.
Yeah. So we...
Do you know anything about this season going into it?
Only the thing I texted you about. So I texted Patrick that I had a slight spoiler because there's a meme, like a GIF from Survivor of these two women and a guy reacting to something that we can't see. And it's like the two women kind of like throw their hands up at their faces and then the guy smiles real big. The meme kind of makes it look like the two women are upset and then the guy is like happy about what they're seeing. And the big smile when this guy got introduced, I was like, oh, I know this. I know that. I've seen this before. I know that guy. So that's all I know.
Okay. I am not spoiled for this season, but I had heard that it is like the funniest season of Survivor. And that all of the players are like not necessarily like hilarious, like funny, haha comedy. They are hilarious in that like they just are constantly making terrible strategic decisions that are hilarious. And so far, I agree with that. Like, we're a few episodes in now, and it is, I think, pretty great.
Yeah, the people from that meme, of the three people, I know the guy is Maddie. One of the women, I think, is Corinne. And then the other is maybe Sugar.
I thought it was Maddie and Sugar, and I didn't know who the other person was. Because you mentioned that to me, and I had not realized that. I'd seen the meme, but I had not realized it. And so I was like, I'm going to ignore this because I don't want to know who all is. Because until I see that moment, I don't want to know, like, these people are definitely still in.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so I have, like, yeah. So that's basically all I know about the season. The season starts off, we've seen a season start off this way before. But I feel like it's been a while because they usually, like, kind of orchestrate how they want the tribes to be arranged. And this one... they did not. This was like a schoolyard pick'em for choosing the tribes, which means that they might be very like lopsided or uneven.
They also did it in a weird way where there's 18 contestants, 9 men and 9 women. And so because of that, they said like, we don't care about gender, do whatever you want, which is like...
Yeah, because we... I don't know. I can't remember. I know for sure we've seen them do it this way at least once before, but I feel like then they probably had them alternate genders.
Yes, I think usually that's what they do. But I think there's usually like 16 people, so there's going to be even numbers either way.
Mm-hmm.
Where if this way they alternated genders, and it would they're going to be uneven no matter what they do, and so they just didn't care.
Yeah.
Which they end up being fairly even. One tribe has 5 women and 4 men, and the other tribe has 5 men and 4 women.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like an interesting thing because Jeff has them all introduce themselves and say what they do first. So that way they like have a general idea about the people before they do like the picking. a couple things I noted down when they were doing this is they would like show some confessionals also. And Randy, who at the time I didn't know these people, so I was just like jotting things down, but Randy's been kind of bigger player so far this season. He said he's not a very positive person. He doesn't like weddings and doesn't ever plan on getting married. And he said that in a confessional because he is a like videographer. And so he like records weddings for a living.
Specifically a wedding videographer. Yeah. That was maybe the first moment that made me laugh out loud.
Corinne said that she'll be a total bitch and like own it, which looking back on, I'm like, I don't think that's been the case so far. She doesn't seem to, doesn't fit her at all.
Yeah, them including it in that episode makes me think that that's going to come back and that's going to happen more. But like, that's definitely not been the case so far.
Yeah. And then the other one of that I noted was Crystal said that she was a preschool teacher, but then has a confessional telling us that she's a former Olympic gold medalist, which I guess it wasn't entirely clear. I don't think she's a preschool teacher at all.
Right. I don't think she is either.
I could like at the time I thought like she was then like now, but had been an athlete before. But I think the preschool teacher thing is just a complete fabrication. Yeah. So they picked
for the record, got a gold medal in the 2004 Olympics, in the 4x400 meter relay.
Yeah. So they do the pick. They pick the teams, and then their first challenge is they have to race up this hill. The first people from each team to get up the hill get an individual immunity. And then the first entire team that gets up the hill gets extra, like an extra bag of corn and beans. A couple things so this was kind of an interesting individual versus team dynamic. One of the teams, like they didn't work together at all and they just had like people race up the hill and then just sit there and rest. And then the other team, Fong, had some people like Maddie really like trying to help other people up the hill, and like he was more of a team player here, which was cool. There was a funny shot of, because Jeff tells them this, but then Jeff also has to make it up the hill to like call the game and stuff. And so there's a very funny shot of Jeff also trying to run up this hill, but then like quickly get his breath and like keep composure because he has to like shoutcast like what's happening, which we don't see Jeff like actually like having to run very often. And so it was just funny because I was like, oh shit, Jeff also has to do all of this right now. So that was fun. Yeah, so Marcus and GC are the ones who make it up first from each team to get the idols. And then Coda has
I think you mean G-Sizzle.
G-Sizzle. Or what's his actual name? Danny. Danny's his real name, but he goes by GC, G-Sizzle. That confused me at first because he introduced himself as Danny. And I was like, wait, I didn't see a Danny in the credits. I have a Dan. It threw me off.
I wonder why he goes by GC.
I don't know. Yeah, so he has immunity. Marcus has immunity. And then Coda gets their entire team up the top of the hill first. So they get the extra food. And then we get to spend some time back at their camps. Their camps come with like some pre-made hut structures kind of that they can use to like build off of.
That they have to put a roof on, basically.
Right, yeah. Bob does a lot of work, which Bob at one point is called Runaround Bob, but then we never see that nickname again of Runaround Bob.
He was one of the guys that like the oldest players got to pick the teams, and he was one of them.
Yeah, so Bob and Jillian. Yeah, so Bob's doing a lot of work around camp, making the roof and stuff like that. There's talk of Ace talks at the Coda camp about digging a latrine. His idea for the bathroom is to do it military style, where they dig a foot deep trench. That's going to be their bathroom, and when it's full of piss and shit, they just dig another one. They cover it up and move to a new spot. And it seems like people are like going to do this, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about digging, like, because they're talking about digging it like right by their camp. I don't know, it seemed weird to me.
I was surprised in like watching that whole conversation because I was not following the different ideas that they were talking about, and I was like, I feel like they're showing us a lot about how they're going to use the bathroom, and they don't usually talk about this that much.
Mm-hmm. there's talk of Charlie and Marcus doing like strategy talk. Charlie feels bonded with Marcus. Charlie is gay. Marcus is not. Marcus is seems like somewhat skittish that like Charlie like just likes him. He says, quote, "We're in Eden, but there's no two Adams here."
There is, I don't know if, I think you're probably right. Like, skittish is probably a fine word. Although Marcus does not seem, like, bothered by this. Marcus almost wants to, like, use this to his advantage and be like, if this is a reason why Charlie wants to start an alliance with me, that's fine. Like, I'll take whatever alliance I can get. And we see, as the episodes go on, that they do form, like, a really tight bond.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie a couple times talks about, like, how much he loves Marcus, that might be like a little bit of a crush. I don't think that is like presumptuous of me to say.
I think that's right. We also see Ace lead them in some yoga before a challenge, which it's mostly the men doing it just in their underwear, which somebody laughs at, thinks it's funny. Crystal maybe. No, that's the wrong camp. Probably was not her. I don't know, somebody thought it was funny. At the other camp at Fong, we see Jillian, she picks through some animal poop looking for undigested seeds that they can eat, which many people are not that big of fans of.
It is where we get the episode title. Want to see the elephant dung?
Ken and Michelle go out like on a walk. They're talking. Ken is crushing on Michelle for sure. They find some termites to eat. What else do I have noted down? There's an elephant wandering around their camp at night.
Ken is a professional gamer who's like pretty excited to be around some attractive women, and specifically talks pretty frequently, including to the women, about how hot they are in a way that makes me like pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, I feel like that somewhat starts to go away. I don't know. I guess maybe not, because even when they change tribes up, I don't know.
Also, like, there's part of me that is like, I think that was more that part of that is a cultural artifact of like, I'm not saying that was ever okay, but I think it was a lot more common in like the early aughts. Although we are in like 2008 now, so I feel like that should be starting to disappear. But like, I don't know how much of it is like he's being a gross dude and how much of it is like he does not know how to interact with women very much, because he never really does.
I think it's more like, that.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, Randy hits his head on a sharp branch and just has blood pouring down his face, which makes
a very fun moment where he, because the cameras are in night vision, we can see that he has blood pouring down his face, but no one else can.
Yeah. Yeah, he asked Jillian about it because she is or was a nurse, but it's too dark for her to like see or do anything about it. And so actual medics come in and give him some stitches. So it was bad enough that he needed some stitches. Michelle says that it was very cold, sleeping was uncomfortable. I made a comment that somebody, I can't remember who, one of the guys is trying to start a fire, like make sparks for fire by hitting a bone against the blade, as if that's gonna like just spark and make a fire. They don't have a flint yet. It does not work. And we head to their first, or their, I guess their second challenge, because we saw the first challenge already right when they started, the immunity challenge, where they are belted together. They have to race through a leech filled swamp and obstacles and dig up puzzle pieces, and then the remaining people will put those pieces together to solve the puzzle. Coda is the first to find all the puzzle pieces. While like dig them up, Fung really just has people like giving up and not digging. This season has so many challenges where there's people who just like give up.
Specifically on Fung, it happens a lot.
So there's like people still digging, but then there's others that are just like sitting there not digging anymore because they feel like they've lost already. Coda then is able to win. They get immunity and Flint. And so we get a little bit more time with Fong before Tribal Council. Some of them feel like they kind of need a leader. The first name that is thrown out is Michelle, because she's been a little bit negative. And then Randy and some others want Jillian gone because she's the oldest. And so that's kind of where we're at as we head into tribal council. So they argue a little bit about giving up in the challenges at tribal council. Dan says you can't go 100% of the time. And Michelle's like, yeah, that's what you do in a challenge. That's what a race is. Like, you do need to do all of that for the whole thing. I noted that I thought it was interesting. It didn't really come up in their conversation that much here, but the people working on the puzzle in the challenge couldn't actually see, because of how it was set up, it was like over a hill, couldn't see the people digging. And so not everybody on the tribe could actually see who had given up and who was digging and who wasn't.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because I think that would have factored in a little bit more to this, because everybody would have been able to see like, oh, people have just given up. They discussed not having a leader. Some people say that GC should be the leader, but he doesn't really want it. And then they kind of do a quick vote and make him the leader, which I feel like Jeff really pushed onto them, which I thought was kind of unfair to GC. Jeff was like, GC, it seems like everybody wants you to be the leader. You're going to be the leader? And he's like, well, I'll do what people want, but I don't want to be the leader, really. And Jeff like kind of twists his words to be like, I don't know. He kind of like twists his words. And then he's like, let's just do a quick vote. Everybody says who wants him to be leader. He's leader. All right, you're leader, GC. And I was like, it was really weird for Jeff to like do that, I thought.
I agree. I also thought it was weird that Jeff turned the whole conversation into like, you guys need a leader. Cause like, it's not usually that the tribes have elected a leader of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes the conversation is like, who seems to be taking that role? But Jeff kind of is like, you guys need to vote for a leader right now. And like, that's not a thing that's ever happened at tribal council before.
And it screws over GC. Like, this has a lasting impact because he becomes the leader because they voted on it. He doesn't want it. And so like in an episode or two, he's like, I don't want to be leader anymore. And then people resent him for that, for like taking on the leadership role and then giving up on it. And it's like, he didn't want it in the first place. You guys forced this onto him.
And also literally maybe not everybody. I should take that back a little bit, but a lot of them are like, yeah, I don't want to be a leader. Like, I want people to take my ideas and think that they're their own. Like, I don't want to be the person in the leadership role. And it's like, yeah, so you're just forcing that on him.
Right.
Even though he clearly doesn't want it.
Yeah, so that was weird. And then they vote, and Michelle gets voted out 8-1. Which I thought I would, I guess it was too early to tell. I thought Michelle was going to be kind of a good character. Like, I liked her argument about how people do need to give it their all in challenges. So I don't know. I was disappointed by that. I wanted Michelle to stay around.
Yeah, she was kind of like only talking to Ken and not to anybody else. So I'm not that surprised by it, but
yeah. So then we get the second half of this first episode, which is really just a whole nother episode of Survivor. We get some more time with Fong. GC is able to get a fire going. They divvy up some chores. They're making some like plates and utensils from wood. Randy has a confessional where he's hoping that GC fails as leader, so that way he gets eliminated. Like, he's glad that GC took that role, so that way he can like crash and burn, kind of. There's a lot of snoring that like starts waking people up, and they start talking, which annoys the people who were sleeping because they were trying to sleep. And so Jillian and like GC kind of have a fight about this, an argument. GC here says he doesn't want to be leader and asks if someone else wants to step up, which nobody does. And so like, this was one day later, one morning later, basically. And he's like, I don't want to be leader. Don't make me leader. We get some time on Coda Camp. Charlie and Marcus are talking some more. They're trying to form like a little bit bigger of a group than just the two of them. He says that he views alliances like an onion, that they have layers. So, you know, big Shrek fan here. And so they talk about getting Jackie and Corinne in their group. And then I made a note that like, oh, they need a fifth though, so that way they have like majority, but then they've figured that out later. So they talk about having Bob be their fifth for now. But they also don't want to make it like super obvious that there's a big alliance.
I was just thinking real quick that like, oh, this would have come out quite a while after Shrek. So like, he's not necessarily making a Shrek reference here. You want to take a quick guess to how many Shrek movies were out when this aired?
4.
Yes, correct. There were already 4 Shrek movies at this point.
Yeah. I mean, Shrek, the first Shrek was what, like 2001 or something?
Yeah, 2001.
Yeah, and then there's the second Shrek, Shrek 2, and there's Shrek the Third, Shrek Forever After.
Ooh, Shrek Forever After was actually after this, but Shrek the Halls was before that.
There's like a Shrek 5 in the works, or Shrek 6 in the works right now, I guess. I think it's called Shrek 5, though, because I don't think Shrek the Halls counts as the numeric Shrek's movies.
Yes, I don't think it counts officially, but yeah, Shrek 5 is coming.
We go to the immunity and reward challenge. It's a double where they have to roll a boulder, climb it to grab keys and release locks. We've seen challenges even in like modern day Survivor that are similar to this, of rolling the boulder and climbing on top of it. Mm-hmm. The reward is fishing gear. We also learned that there's Exile Island happening, where they'll get a clue for a hidden idol. This is different from last season where there's just one person going to Exile Island, and we'll see how it's actually a little bit different, Exile Island, in a moment. Coda has a slight lead throughout this. They struggle to get the boulder on the final platform, but pull it off and they win and send Dan to Exile Island. So on Exile Island, we see that when they show up, they get a choice. They can choose Clue or Comfort. Clue gives them a clue to find the immunity idol. Comfort means that they don't get a clue for the immunity idol, but they get like to be in a hut and get food and stuff. He chooses the clue. And really, really, really does a bad job at trying to interpret this clue.
Yeah, the way that this happened last season too sometimes, where it almost seems as if they read the clue once and then like just never look at it again. Because like he does not seem to second guess his interpretation of this clue at all when like, maybe it's from the comfort of my own home, and also because they kind of like show what they mean. Like, production is like, hey, here's where he's trying to get to, and here's where he is. And it seems so obvious that he's not doing what the clue says.
Yeah, and it's like he hasn't seen other seasons of Survivor that have had clues, because at one point he finds like a beach basically, and it said like it's in a sandy crater, and he's like, that must be this whole beach. I guess I just dig somewhere. And so he's just like digging randomly, and like their clues are usually better than that, where like you don't have to dig up an entire beach. You would like be directed to a specific spot.
Yeah, it is it's a pretty bad showing from Dan, who was sent to Exile Island because he like was they expected that he would be a smart guy because he's a lawyer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he does not do well there. We get some time on Coda Camp, mostly just showing they're happy and fishing and getting food, which was a kind of a rare, I guess it's because it was an immunity and reward challenge. Usually we don't get to spend any time with the winning tribe after this, but we get a tiny bit of time with them.
It's also still the premiere, so I feel like maybe that would affect things a little bit.
Yeah. And then on the losing tribe, they're just struggling with back-to-back losses. They talk about maybe sending Jillian because she's not physical enough in challenges. We see Randy takes his glasses apart and uses it to make a fishing hook, and then uses some of GC's shoestrings for that. And they use that to catch some fish, which was super cool.
Glasses. Jillian is also starting to get on everybody's nerves because she is very like positive and keeps being like, come on, like we got this, we just keep doing what we're doing, we're gonna win. And people are like, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep losing because that's what's happening.
Yeah. Dan returns, tells them basically what Exile Island was like and that he didn't find the idol. Some people are suspicious about this, and so like the play that they have editing wise or production wise for us is that people are suspicious of that and fear he might have an idol, so maybe they'll get rid of Dan. And so we own a tribal council thinking it's either Jillian or Dan. And yeah, we go to tribal council. I have in my note, Dan, why are you wearing a tie? Wearing a tie sucks, let alone wearing a tie like while trying to survive in the middle of nowhere. Crystal, at one point in their conversation, Crystal says that she thinks Dan has the idol, and so he stands up and dumps his bag out, showing like, hey, I don't have it. And Jillian gets voted out 7-1. Yeah. And so we head into our second episode of our first batch that we're talking about here, which is She Is Obviously Is Post-Op, which I don't remember that being said.
I don't remember that either.
I assume it was something that was said badly about one of the women, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so we have some time on Fong. Randy thinks his tribe is dumb. He doesn't think they can win, even after getting rid of Jillian. And he says that they're already running low on rice because they've been eating 3 meals a day. And so he wants to like cut that down to 2. GC's annoyed because some people just like throw out leftover rice early on, and that's why they're low now. Randy refers to GC as being the cancer of the group.
Which is a terrible thing to say about someone ever, I think.
Yeah, I think Randy says it about somebody else later.
Yeah, it's like his go-to thing to say, and it's pretty gross.
GC asks Randy if he wants to be the leader, and Randy's like, no, I don't want to be the leader. So still that thread going of GC not wanting to be the leader, even though, after it was kind of just forced upon him. We get some time with Coda. Some people aren't really liking Ace. They hear the reward is maybe betting from the tree mail, and Ace is like, it's probably not that important. We win betting, like we're sleeping okay. So maybe we save our energy and save our energy for immunity, which is more important.
And specifically, he doesn't mean like throw the challenge, but he means like maybe we should sit out a couple stronger people for this and like still try hard. But
yeah, which I thought was a good point. Like, I feel like we don't see that discussed much. We see, like, we've had people talk about throwing challenges to purposely, like, vote out specific people, but I don't think we've seen discussed much, like, holding back or, like, sitting certain people for specific challenges to, like, win immunity rather than reward, stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's a good point. It pains me to say that because, wow, I hate Ace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not a fan of Ace. So we go to the reward challenge where one member from each tribe just basically has to hold on to this big wooden post while two people from the other tribe have to try to pull them off the post and drag them across.
We've seen this before and it's always way too brutal. I hate these challenges.
Yeah, agreed. This one felt less brutal a little bit, I guess. I don't know. There was still some, yeah. I don't like these challenges either. So Fong ends up winning this. And they send Sugar to exile. This is their first win in the first, 3 challenges we've seen so far? They finally got a win. Or this is the 4th challenge, yeah. So on exile, Sugar goes and she chooses the idol clue as well. And she follows the clues pretty simply, it seems, and is able to get the idol. It goes through like 1, 2, 3, something like 4 or 5 clues. And she finds the idol, and so she has an immunity idol, which is good for her.
She also has a pretty heartfelt moment saying that her father had passed away pretty recently, and that she like felt like he was there with her and like helped her through this, and that one of the reasons she came on Survivor was to like learn how to live life without him, basically.
Yeah, to kind of like grow up and process it, yeah. On Coda, they debrief a little bit after their loss. Bob and Ace talk. They think that Paloma and Sugar are on the bottom. Ace says that they can trust Sugar longer. Ace and Sugar, we see like in the next few episodes, have a pretty good bond or alliance, I guess. And so the talk is maybe that Paloma should go right now. Corinne talks to Bob about her alliance with Jackie and Marcus and Charlie, saying that if Bob like joins in with them, they'll have 5 and they can control the vote. They have it locked down.
This was a wild move. I was like so stunned by this in that it doesn't seem to matter because she pretty clearly is like, you're the 5th. Like,
yeah,
we have 4 without you. You are number 5. Which is essentially saying, or you can go rally up everyone else because I'm telling you that you're the bottom of this alliance.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was weird also.
It was one of the times when I was like, oh, maybe this is like the beginning of what people say is like people make a lot of bad strategy moves in this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she makes it much more clear. Like we saw this happen last season also, like Sari knew that she would be like the 5th person when there's like 2 couples and stuff like that. But they aren't as obvious about being like, hey, we've made an alliance of 4. Do you want to come in as our 5th?
Right. And yeah, Corinne basically says like, you're the extra. And right. If you don't join, I'll find someone else, basically, which is rough.
Yeah, we get a little bit of time on Fong where they just like celebrate their victory. And then we go into the immunity challenge, which is a slip and slide down into the water. We have to swim up.
Everything about this challenge.
Yeah, it seemed cool. They have to swim to get a number tile and then collect those tiles to solve a math puzzle.
Which the math puzzle was also very fun. I've never seen a puzzle like this on Survivor before. It was so cool.
Mm-hmm. And Fong is, they're behind a little bit going into the math puzzle, but Ken is able to come back and pulls out the win. And so Fong, after losing everything in the first episode, wins everything in this episode.
Ken, the professional gamer, beats Bob, the physics teacher, in a math puzzle.
Yeah. This one was interesting. I liked how it was set up where it's not like just ask Jeff for a check. It was they solved the number puzzle, math puzzle, put the numbers in as like a combination. And then if it worked, it worked. If not, it didn't.
Also, it's like, it was like they had like arranged the tiles, but they had clues of like, like the first and the last are like add up to the second and things right. like that, which were all very like it seemed like legitimately challenging and fun, and like I would want to do that kind of puzzle in my free time because I'm a nerd.
Yeah, and so then we get to spend a little bit of
time. It was a slip and slide.
Yeah, the slip and slide was cool, and it was interesting watching people do different strategies because they could see like some people would go down slower than others, and so they would like throw their arms at the side or like you know they would just like do strategies for trying to slide faster. I wanted to see Ozzy do this challenge.
Oh yeah,
that would picture him like flying through the air doing his like dolphin wiggle right into the water. I bet he would have crushed it. Yeah, so we spent some time with Coda. The plan still seems to be going for Paloma. Paloma goes to Corinne to talk about maybe getting rid of Ace, says that Ace is shady and that he's tied to Sugar, and so like they're a tricky one to watch out for because it's like a block vote. And so
Corinne, and because Sugar might have the idol now.
Yeah, and so Corinne takes us to Charlie to talk about it. We go to Tribal Council and find out that nothing much came from that as Paloma gets voted out 7-2. Who was the
I didn't Kelly down. Votes with Paloma.
Okay, that's what I didn't note down. Yeah. So it was a good start to the season.
It was. I don't feel great that like we're two episodes in, three women have been voted out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes as we continue. But yeah, I like this season so far. I'm not like blown away by it, but I think it's fun and interesting, and I think the location is fun, and yeah.
Yeah, it just seems lots of characters. But yeah, I think I'm with you. It's enjoyable so far. I'm interested to see where it goes. I don't really recognize many of these names. So yeah, we'll see. Do you have, they do give us a preview for next week. Sorry, I forgot to, you know what? Take that back. I didn't write down anything for the preview for next week. I think it's because I knew I was going into watching like our next batch of episodes also that I didn't bother noting it down.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Do you have a luxury item this week?
I do. So I recently subscribed to the the streaming service Dropout TV, which is a company that's formerly College Humor, now Dropout. It's all the same people. I'm not sure if College Humor still exists in a different form or something like that, but anyway, Dropout is great. They like come up all over the place on my like TikTok and stuff like that. But I've seen like clips, and I used to watch like some of their episodes that they would release for free on YouTube a lot, but I finally subscribed and I have been watching through their episodes of Game Changer, which the premise is it is a game show where the game changes every show. So it'll be like one episode, the contestants come on and they do not know what they are playing. And sometimes they are playing like a really intense version of Simon Says. Or they're playing one episode. The first episode of it is a lie detector test where they have to like answer questions truthfully to get points, or tell crazy stories about themselves to get points. And there's a machine that tells if they're lying or not, and we know, but the players do not know until the end of the episode, that the lie detector is actually controlled by their significant others who are secretly backstage. And so their significant others were like, yes, that is a true thing that's happened to them, or no, that's not. So yeah, it is just consistently hilarious every single time. It is a brilliant premise. It is hosted by Sam Rice, who's also like the head of Dropout. And excellent, excellent. I cannot recommend it enough. I've been like watching like a couple episodes a day, and it is so, so, so good. If you were going to start, I would recommend starting with, they recommend starting with the Simon Says episode, which is actually called Sam Says, which is season 4, episode 1.
I think we've recommended this before.
I didn't have Dropout until like,
I think I've recommended it before.
Oh, okay.
But it is, yes, I agree. It's very good. So two questions for you. Have you watched their escape room episode?
No, I'm not there yet.
Okay. It's so good. It's Brennan and, oh shoot, I'm so bad with names. It's one of the guys who does their D&D stuff too.
Lou, maybe?
Yeah. And then it's also one of the women that does their D&D stuff.
Siobhan, I think.
Yes, yeah. It's so, so good.
And I've seen like the clip of like the beginning of that episode, but not the full episode.
Yeah. And then they've also recently, because that's been around, Game Changers has been around for a while. They recently started an offshoot of Game Changers called Make Some Noise. I don't know if you've watched any of those episodes.
So I have seen some of the like the Make Some Noise Game Changer episodes, but not any of the offshoot episodes. Okay. I've not watched any of those yet.
Yeah. They're also very good. I mean,
they are
exactly what you would expect.
So yeah. Funny. Yeah. I'm like ridiculously impressed by
if you get through those and want more stuff to watch on there. So other shows on through Dropout that are good. They have Actually, which is like it's like a nerdy trivia show where they'll ask a very, very hyper specific trivia question about some like nerdy thing, and the contestants have to try to figure out like what's wrong with it or something like that. That's pretty enjoyable. Those ones I kind of like bounce around depending on the topic.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of them. Actually, they post a lot of those to YouTube.
And then I don't know if you've watched any of their D&D stuff.
I have not.
So the two I would recommend to start with. One is, I think it's through Dropout, you can watch it. The McElroy brothers and dad did one called Tiny Heist that is so good. It's basically like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is a D&D adventure. And so like Justin, for example, Justin McElroy's character is a Lego man. And so he can switch up personas by like just swapping out his head and body and stuff, because he can change it up.
Oh, that's really fun.
And so that's a whole like a little like casino heist kind of. That one is so, so, so good. That's what I think got me to originally sign up for Dropout. And then there's one that's called like something about high school. Fantasy High, which I've only seen the season 1 of, and I know they've done a season 2, but I loved it so much. Like, it's so, so good. It makes me like angry and jealous of how good of a DM Brennan is, of just like being able to set up stories, and like he's so good.
I've seen a bunch of clips on like TikTok and stuff, and I think that I've seen the first like episode or two of Fantasy High because I posted them to YouTube at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason I didn't subscribe at that point, but yeah, that's like, I think I'm gonna just end up watching like all of the Dropout content eventually, which is wild because there's so much of it, and it's like $5 a month. Mm-hmm. It's like so well worth it, and yeah, Brennan Lee Mulligan is incredible.
Yeah. I'm just gonna have that be my plug also this week because we've talked about it a lot. So there we go, listeners, check it out, dropout.tv. it's like $5 or $6 a month. Lots of good content. You can do a free 1 month subscription, I think, if you've never signed up for it. And so do that. If you do it and watch stuff, you should email us your favorite things from it at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oi, 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 oi.